The Lord spoke to my heart through that song, and I'm so thankful for my Savior. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6. You know, holidays, you know, sometimes as a pastor, you kind of feel held hostage by a holiday. And in other words, you kind of feel like you have to preach on a certain subject because of the holiday that's arrived. Mother's Day, Father's Day, certain other holidays through the year. I made a decision a while ago that I wasn't going to be held hostage by a holiday, all right? I was going to preach what God laid on my heart. If it was a series that I was preaching through and God wanted me to continue, I would. If it was something different, I wouldn't. And so usually I may follow through if it's on a series. But however, today, as I prayed about whether to continue through the series and be in John chapter 3 or to come preach upon this need of a father, I felt the Lord saying, go preach on a father, on fathers. And so that's what I want to do this morning. It's a wonderful day as a father, you know, think about what God has done. And yet there's some folks God hasn't given that opportunity to yet. God's got a special grace for them, something special he's doing in their life. And so as a pastor, you kind of just, you know, sometimes you enjoy the day, but you're kind of uncomfortable the day. But I'm thankful for what God has done for us. And this morning I want to preach on this matter of a father's place, what a father is to be. And not just that, I think it's not only something for fathers, but it's something for men who will one day be fathers. And I think it's for ladies who will one day have a husband. And ladies who have a husband, something that we ought to pay attention to in the Scripture. And so I want to look here at Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to be in various places through the Scripture. And if you'd stand with me as we read here, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. If your toes get stepped on today, have you to know the Lord already stepped on mine as I studied this, so don't feel alone, all right? But Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Read verse 4 aloud with me, would you? And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful that I know you as my personal Savior. I'm so thankful you sent your Son to die on the cross and to rise again 3 days later that I might be saved. You said to as many as received him, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God. The day that we came to know you as our personal Savior, we became the child of God, a joint heir of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result, we have a heavenly Father. Lord, I pray this morning as I preach on being a godly Father, I pray that I would lift up the heavenly Father. I pray that we would see our role in light of what you have done for us and who you are. And Lord, that you would shape us and conform us into the image of your dear Son by way of the message and the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts this morning. I love you, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Data from the United States Census Bureau says this, that there are nearly 18.5 million children that grow up without their fathers, which has led to the United States owning the title of the world's leader in fatherlessness. There's a shocking number for you. That in terms of the countries around the world, the one that leads the world in terms of fatherless homes is the United States of America. The most prosperous nation on the face of the earth and in world history is known now as the nation that leads the world in fatherlessness. Talk about a convicting thing when you think about it. It shows prosperity has nothing to do with godliness. 80% of single-parent homes are led by single mothers, and thank the Lord for them. Amen? Amen. Leading to nearly 25% of our youth growing up without a father in their home. 85% of children and teens with behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. Over 70% of all adolescent patients in drug and alcohol treatment centers originate from homes without fathers. Even in a high-crime inner-city neighborhoods, well over 90% of children from a safe, stable home do not become delinquents. Did you hear that? Even in inner city, crime-ridden neighborhoods, 90% of children that come from a safe, stable home do not become delinquents. By contrast, only 10% of children from unstable homes in those neighborhoods avoid crime. You know, our world is busy trying to tell us it's a whole lot of other things that bring about what we see in our society, but the reality is it's a move away from what God designed as a family. Amen. It's a movement away from what God calls a husband and a wife who love one another and God and raises children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The world is attacking the family at every corner. It's telling you to love who you want to love and do what you want to do, and that the makeup of your family doesn't really matter, and yet Friend, the Bible says differently, and the statistics prove the truth of the Word of God. Amen. That it is a struggle. Without that home being the way it is to bring up children, the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now there's hope, and the hope is Jesus. Amen. Amen. I think of Timothy. The Bible highlights the faith of Timothy's mother and grandmother. As far as we know, Timothy, who the letter of 1 and 2 Timothy was written to, his at the very least, his father was not a saved man, more than likely. So God in His mercy shows mercy at times. But the reality is, the statistics prove what the Bible teaches, the importance of a father. I would say this, there's no replacement for a father. I'm for churches. I'm for having your church, your family in a church with a godly pastor and youth pastor and Sunday school teachers and other men that you can look around at that are setting the example of what a godly man should be. Those things are needed and they work in tandem with a home and with a family. But the reality is there is no replacement for a godly father. Those things are true both statistically and they're true from the written Word of God. But it's not just a man being there, but it's more than anything, it's a man being the man God intended him to be. Amen. A father's place. I want you to notice a few things from the Word of God, and I think some things that go to the role of a father. Number one, we see a father's love. A father's love. Look at chapter 5, if you would, and skip up a few verses to verse 25. It says this, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." The love of a husband for his wife. My brother will jokingly tease my sister-in-law, not this one here, my older brother Matthew. It says, he'll tell his wife, the Bible says that we're to love our wives even as our own bodies. So he tells her, I'm working on loving me more so I can love you more. All right. Increasing my love for me will increase my love for you. Not exactly how it works. All right. But he'll tease her that way. But the Bible highlights this. You know, even before he arrives at instruction for children and instruction in fathers, he begins with some instruction in the home concerning a relationship between a husband and wife. And the thing that he highlights about the husband is love. His love. Amen. You know, I believe this, that if a father is going to be the man that God intends him to be, he is going to have to learn to love. You know, when it talks about children or fathers to bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, you know where he puts that weight at, don't you? You know where God places the weight of children coming up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord at? On the shoulders of the father. He places that weight of a child growing up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. He said, fathers, you make sure it happens. Our world's trying to change that. But God has placed the weight squarely on the shoulders of a father. And young ladies, if there's anything to remember, it's that when it comes to choosing who you'll marry. Because the weight will lay on his shoulders. And he begins with this matter of loving your wife. I think of the picture he's giving there. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also what? Love the church. You know, God paints an earthly portrait of his love for us through a godly marriage. The song was just sung about for what earthly reason? Why would God do what he has done? And the reason was us. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. God demonstrates his love for us at Calvary. He said, this is how much I love you. It's Calvary. He said, I loved you so much in spite of the fact that you were a sinner, for God so loved the world. He said, in spite of the fact that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, he said, I loved you anyway. Amen. And here's how much I love you. I'm willing to die in your place at Calvary. And he said, I want there to be an earthly picture of something that paints a picture to every child from the time they enter into this world to how much I love them. And here's my picture. A husband's love for his wife. You know, father, one day father, single young man that maybe one day be a father, God wants you to paint a picture to your family and to the world and to your children of how much God loves them. Amen. That we would be willing to sacrifice. that you love your wives, you'd be willing to sacrifice yourself, even as God for, even as it says, husbands, love your wives, even as God for Christ. He says, love them to the point that Christ loved us. My life, I must be willing to sacrifice self for them. Well, that's not the world's teaching, isn't it? It's raising young men today. It's trying to get young men to live in pursuit of their hobbies.
Amen.
And their ambitions. And if somehow a family fits in there, great. Our young men, unfortunate, and I don't have any problem with video games, but unfortunately, people know it's way more that some young men are so consumed with video games and the fantasy world that they're in no shape to lead a home.
Amen.
Our world is raising people up in a fantasy world. And pursuit of fantasies. And look, I'm not saying that hobbies and leisures are okay, but if you're going to be the godly man that you should be to your family, you're going to have to come to a place where you are willing to lay those things down and lay down and sacrifice self.
Amen.
For a home and for a family.
Amen.
Husbands, love your wife. It provides a security in the home. One of the best things that I can do for my children is that they see how much I love my wife.
Yeah.
It provides a security to them.
Right.
They can look at their mom and dad and they can say they love each other. It provides, hey, the world can be in turmoil, but as far as they're concerned, they're okay.
Yes.
Because mom and dad love each other. It ought to be something that we strive in. And in that chapter, the Lord's even speaking to, I think, a husband and a wife's weaknesses. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, even as unto the Lord. And he calls the wife to submit and follow her husband, and he calls the husband to love his wife. I think the Lord is speaking to our weaknesses. And I can imagine, where I might be hard to follow at times, all right? I don't know why that would be the case. You know, but nevertheless, I could see where it might be difficult at times. But I think God speaks to our love for one another too. I think the Lord speaks to a man's nature sometimes is not to express the love he should in his home the way it should be expressed. You know what a home needs? It needs to see a husband who loves his wife, who loves his Lord. You'll never be able to love the people in your home the way you should until you love God the way you should.
Amen.
Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. If you don't have a full understanding of how much God loved you, you're going to struggle to show that kind of love to your family. I will tell you this. Here it is, young man. The number one qualification for a family is that you have a love and a walk for the Lord with the Lord.
Amen.
Friend, you have no business trying to, young man, you have no business trying to lead a young lady in a family until you are walking with your God the way you should be walking with your God.
Amen.
If you don't have that in order, you'll never have the rest in order.
Amen.
And dads, here it is. We don't first learn to walk with God and to love our God. We will struggle to love and lead our families. God calls us to it. There is a call that the love of Christ should be visible and obvious in our homes and our families to the point of a willingness to sacrifice and give of ourselves for them. To make sure that, I think of the call that he talks about for a man to provide for his family. The Bible says a man doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. The Lord says this to the young man. He says, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thy house in the field, and afterward build thine house.
Amen.
The teaching was this: if you're not ready to provide for a family, you're not ready for a family.
Amen.
He said, prepare thy work without and afterwards thy field, and then build thy house. Why? Because you have to be willing to sacrifice self out of love for your home and for your family. Man is called to love. If there is something I must remind myself of, I better demonstrate a love for the wife that God has given me and the children that God has given me that grows from a love for my Savior. Tell you what makes a strong home is When that father grabs a hold of the fact that my home needs to be a place that is that the love of God is seen and my love for my wife and my family is seen. And the call is this, that you and I, Dad, would demonstrate in our homes how much God loves them. Talk about a responsibility. It's not my job to show my children just how much I love them, but how much God loves them. By being a portrait of His love for us. There's that call that it would be in our home and that we would, that our homes would see that. We see this, there must be, a father must love. How about this one? A father must lead. Look at Ephesians 6 again and verse 4 again. And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And then this phrase, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Those words, nurture and admonition, means the education and the discipline and bringing them up around the Lord. But what catches me is two other words. Not merely the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, but the word in and the word bring catch my attention. You know, the word in implies something inside of something. It doesn't it? When I say we are in church today, now we know the church is the body of Christ, Christians, but we're talking about an address, aren't we? 2915 14th Avenue. We are inside of this building. When I say we're in my home, to my family, that means we're in my home off of Ascot Way in Columbus, Georgia. This scripture has given us the call to bring our children up inside of the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It means for my young ones, as I bring them up, as I raise them, that I need to keep them inside of the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You know, there's a way that I know that there's an environment my children shouldn't be in. It's when it's not inside of the nurture and the admonition of the Lord.
Amen.
If it falls outside of the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, I've got a good clue that my kids don't need to be there.
Right.
Inside of the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But the other word that grabs my attention is this word bring. God didn't say, put your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, did He? He didn't say, point them to the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. He said, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The implication is there that I am already there. Catch that, Dad? That I'm already there. That I'm bringing my children into a place in which I already dwell. That I'm already there. I'm saying, hey, Samuel, Audrey, Titus, Jacqueline, Nathaniel, I want you to learn to walk with God. You can walk with me and I'll take you and teach you how to walk with God. Let's go to the house. Let me teach you how to serve God. We'll serve God together. I'm already there serving God. I'm already walking with God.
Amen.
I'm already living in a certain way. I want you to come and grab a hold of this. It's not me looking at them and say, go do that, go do that, go do that. It's saying, you, come with me. Proverbs says it this way. It says in Proverbs 23, 24 through 26, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. See, it's through demonstrating a right kind of love for them that I get their heart.
Amen.
And when I get their heart, they observe my ways.
Yeah.
Here it is. If I get their heart and they observe my way, which way are they going? If I grab their heart, and I have their heart, they begin to look to say, which way is Dad going? I'm going to follow him. Where will they end up? Will they end up walking with God? Will they end up serving God? Will they end up loving their mama? Loving the spouse that God will one day give them? Will they end up serving God? Or are they going to end up somewhere out in the world? My son, give me thine heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways. There is a call to lead. Paul told Timothy it this way. The husbandman that laboreth must first be a partaker of the fruits. The husbandman that laboreth must be first a partaker of the fruits. He said this, if you're going to labor in the vineyard, he said, then you better be a partaker of the fruit. In other words, you can't impart what you do not have.
Amen.
You cannot impart what you do not have. And if I want my children to have a relationship with God and to love God and to serve God and to follow God in whatever capacity that may be for their life, then I have to have it too.
Amen.
I have to have it too. See, God calls us to lead, and that leading is not grabbing my children and saying, and pushing them in a certain direction. Go this way, go this way, let's go this way. No, it's me grabbing my children and say, come with me. Come with me. Come with me. As I love them and demonstrate a love for them that I ought to have, and demonstrate the love of Christ for them, and I say, come with me. As we run in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and it cannot be, go that way, go that way, go that way. It must be, come with me.
Amen.
I will tell you this, the challenge for us as fathers is not merely raising the children, but bringing them up, because there's a difference. Raising is disconnected. It's me trying to grow something over here. Bringing is me being something and bringing them with me. And friend, the challenge for me is this as a father is not that I just try to bring them up into something that I am not, but let God shape me and conform them into who He is by letting them see who He is through my life. And my life may not be perfect, but God's grace does a work, doesn't it? And it says, here it is, fathers, you must bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Let God do a work in your life and shape you and change you that is visibly different, and your children see that. And you say, come with me, and they begin to follow their Lord because you are following the Lord. It is not me just shoving them off in a direction, pointing them a certain way, or handing them off to somebody else, but it's saying, you, come with me as we follow Him.
Amen.
There is the call that our homes as fathers, we must exercise a love for the Lord and a love for our spouses and a love for our families that is visible. I'll tell you something, affection in the home is a good thing.
Amen.
It's a good thing.
Amen.
You ought to see, you ought to walk with the Lord. I tell you this, young man, if you want a spouse, then here's the number one thing to focus on. Not finding a spouse, but walking with your God.
Amen.
Young lady, it's not finding a spouse, it's walking with your God. So that you will be who you should be when God puts that one in your life. Sometimes we've got it backwards. We'll say, well, I'll be something when I get something. No, friend, be who you're supposed to be. Let God take care of the rest.
Amen.
There's a call. There's a call in our life that we show a love for the Lord, and that we lead those families. How about this? A father must love. A father must lead. A father must stand. Would you go Old Testament with me here for a minute? Don't get nervous. All Scripture is profitable. All right. First Kings chapter 1 and. Here's an example. The book of Corinthians tells us we can learn from the lives of these folks. This is the end of David's life. You can learn a lot from David's life. You can learn what to be and what not to be from David's life. Here's one of those what not to do. All right? This is the end of David's life. It says in 1 Kings chapter 1. Now King David was old and stricken in years. And they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. If you come down to verse 5, and this is where I want to look at verse 5 and 6. It says, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, this is Adonijah, this is David's son from one of his wives. Another thing not to learn from David. One woman is good enough. That's all you can really handle either. But then Adonijah, it's Father's Day. I'm supposed to get extra grace, all right? Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. Now here's a problem. Adonijah knew who was going to be king, and that was Solomon. So what he was doing is he was rebelling. He was rebelling. He was trying to usurp the king David. He was trying to usurp his father. Some of this was of David's own working. If you remember, the Lord had told David when he sinned with Bathsheba, the sword would never leave his house. So some of this was some of his own making, and Adonijah would die. Matter of fact, Solomon would have to have his own brother killed. That's a sorry place to be, isn't it? Because of Adonijah's rebellion. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Verse 6. And his father had not what? The pleased displeased him at any time, and saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother that bare him after him, Absalom. There's a convicting statement. And his father had not displeased him.
Yeah.
There's a convicting statement. Proverbs 29, 15 through 17. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame.
Amen.
When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth. But the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. I don't think there's a mistake in that verse in the middle. Here it is. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to what?
Shame.
And then it says this. When the wicked are multiplied, transgressions increaseth. How do the wicked get multiplied? Well, they're never displeased.
Right.
Yeah.
But the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. You know, Dad, you shouldn't be afraid of displeasing your children.
Amen.
You shouldn't be afraid of taking a biblical and godly stand.
Amen.
We live in a culture that's trying to make men out to be buffoons. If you watch TV, you don't have to watch it very long before you see that. Seems like in almost every show, the man is a bozo. He's either a bozo or he's immoral. You ever notice that? Or is a man consumed with the desire for money? Sounds like you're either a bozo, you're consumed with ambition, or you're a very immoral person. And God calls a man to be very different. He calls him to be a man who loves his Lord and lets it be seen. He calls him to be a man who leads his family to be a biblical, godly family. He calls a man to be a man who's willing to stand for right even when people don't like it.
Amen.
He calls you to be willing to displease your children. Sometimes that's through physical discipline and bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and teaching them right from wrong. And God clearly lays that out. And I don't care what Dr. So-and-so says.
Amen.
God says differently. And it's this call that even in our culture, that we would be someone who stands against wrong and for right.
Yes.
I've watched this last year as I've seen in our country as folks have taken a stand against some of the things being taught. And you ever notice something? One of the things that I've noticed about it is that there's a lot of times it's a mother taking a stand.
Oh, yeah.
That's sad, my friend. Where is Dad? The Bible did not say, mothers, raise your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Though that's a good thing. They should be bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord because they're the helpmeet for their husband. He said, fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Where is the dad who's willing to stand up and say, no?
Amen.
No to the culture and no to sin. Sometimes I tell you, friend, it is right for us as a parent that as much as we love to see our children happy and to see them having things, sometimes it's right for a parent to look their child in the eye and say, no.
Amen.
No. Not only to the young child, but as that child grows.
Oh, yes.
I'll be frank. This idea that when your child is 18, you're done is wrong. You will find that nowhere in your Bible. I challenge you. You search it long and you search it hard. And when you find the verse, you show me.
Amen.
It is not there. There is a cutoff date. Well, it doesn't have a date. It says to leave and cleave.
Right.
You know when that leave and cleave falls? Marriage.
Yes.
Now, there's to be a difference in the way that we lead. But friend, fathers, your job is never done.
Right.
Amen.
Grandpa, your job is never done.
Amen.
And look, if you've got a grandpa or a father who's willing to displease you from time to time in the things that they say, then give thanks, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Give thanks. I do not always agree with my father. I hope he doesn't watch this. All right. I do not always agree with my father. But I am glad that I have a father who is willing to displease me from time to time, even as an adult, because sometimes he's been further down the road than I have been. And I am thankful that as a child, that I had a father who was willing to displease me. I'm thankful that as a single young man, I had a father who was willing to say at times no to someone or yes to someone because it got me where I am and gave me that woman. And I am thankful for what my God has done for me in my life. And friend, you should be thankful for the father you have. And father, don't let anybody in this world tell you to sit down and shut up. When they tell you, you stand up and you speak up. Because this world needs less silent men and more vocal men. Men willing to stand up and tell the world, you cannot define the family. God's already defined it. You cannot tell me the way it's to be. God has already said the way it's to be. This is right and this is wrong. And the world doesn't need less of it. It needs more of it. And this world's trying to make men into mealy guys that are more consumed with ambition or leisure or time. And you look around the world and you say, where have the young men go? Well, the world's tried to shut them down. Right. And it's time for Christians to say, no more. Amen. My voice will be heard because, Dad, you're the only one that God gave it to.
That's right.
Quit letting mama do your job.
Amen.
Quit letting your mama do your job. Stand up. Be a father.
Amen.
Young men, strive to be a godly man.
Amen.
To be willing to stand up for your God. To be willing that people will be displeased from you. So be it. So be it. Sometimes my children may not like it. Sometimes my wife may not understand it. Sometimes the world may not like it. So be it. That's what God called me to do. And I won't sit down on the job that he gave me, and neither should any other man.
Amen.
This world needs to hear from godly men.
Yes.
Who are willing to take a stand for what is right.
Yes.
And there is a call here that we, a father must love and a father must lead and a father must learn to stand. And young men, you must learn to stand.
Amen.
Don't let this world tell you to be quiet.
Right.
It said to endure hardness as a good soldier. To be willing to face difficulty, not run for leisure. Face difficulty. It's who God made you to be. He didn't make you to be a couch potato. He meant you to be a man who goes out and works, stands for right, and provides for his home and his family, and lifts up his God. I'm so tired of the world telling young men to be something different. Because it's not what God made you to be. There's a call to stand. There's a call to love. There's a call to lead. And there's a call to direct. If you would, go to Psalms chapter 127, if you would. And 127. Here it is. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it.
Yes.
Did you catch that?
Yes.
Except the Lord build your home, you're wasting your time. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows. You can stay up late and worry all about it, but it won't do you any good if you're not letting God build the house. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Then he gives this wonderful truth about the home. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. Boy, they're a gift from God.
Amen.
This world doesn't get it, do they? They see him as a burden and something to be snuffed out if it doesn't fit in your life. But God says they're a wonderful gift from the Lord. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children in the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate.
Amen.
He's talking about children. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. It's a wonderful truth in that passage of Scripture. Here's the truth. I don't know if any of you like to... You've done a little bit of bow hunting, and I enjoyed it. But it's always with a compound bow, all right? That's not the type of bow they had, right? Their bow required a lot more work. That mighty man of his day, the archer of his day, he would shape that arrow. He would carve it out. He'd shape the shaft of it. He'd take the point. And he would put a lot of work into that arrow, wouldn't he? Because if not, it might be his life. He knew that thing had to fly straight. He worked on himself. Friend, it doesn't take a whole lot of strength, 50 pounds on a compound or 65 pounds on a compound bow. It pulls back fairly well, not easily, but it comes back. But you put that on a bow that's not, that requires strength. It requires personal preparation. That archer's going to have to work on themselves. And God's teaching us this, man, if you're going to raise your family, it's going to be about just some work on you, not just on your family. And he said, there's something to be said for the release, isn't there? You know, if you prepare, if an archer gets his bow out and he gets his arrow and he shapes that arrow so well and builds it so nicely and perfects his own strength and shapes that bow into exactly what it should be, and he pulls back on that bow, he has to release properly. If you don't release properly, everything else can be spent and wasted.
Yeah.
And if you jerk, that arrow's flying off into who knows where. It's got to be a slow release. almost like you're surprised when that arrow leaves that bow. Almost like maybe if you're more familiar with firing a weapon, as you slowly squeeze that trigger. You don't jerk it unless you pull off target. You slowly squeeze the trigger. If you don't, the thing's going off. But here it is. He said, if you're not careful, the man doesn't release properly, that arrow will fly off what? It won't go to where? Target. Why does an archer make an arrow to hit a target? Why does an archer make a bow to hit a target? Why does an archer prepare himself to hit a target? My friend, who does God say the archer is? The Father. Bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. God determines the target, but you and I point them towards the target. You know what God's telling you? Dad, Father, you should be leading.
Amen.
You should be given a direction. I'm going to say this. There's a lot of listlessness in our culture. There's a lot of fatherlessness in our culture. Hey, Dad, what are you pointing them at?
Amen.
You pointing them towards the Lord? To walk in the will of God? Are you help giving them some direction when they're saying, I don't know what to do? Are you help give? This culture says when they're 18, you're done. They turn 18, you just leave them. And the reason the culture says that, because they want to determine how they're going to wreck their life. That's why they tell you that, Dad. But let me tell you something. A father's job is not done. You begin to point down direction and you help that young person, specifically before they're married. Let me help you find the will of God. Let me give you direction. I tell you, when you get that child to that age, it's not time to let go and sit down. It's time to, your influence may be different, but there's still influence and still time to give direction and still time to hit your knees in prayer and still time to say, this is the direction to go. And you slowly release. Look, my dad doesn't call to tell me, Seth Hahn, you got to do this, this, and this. But the lessons that I learned from him as a young person still guide my steps today.
Yes.
Friend, what direction are you giving? Dad, this world is trying to tell you you are unimportant. Hogwash on that.
Right.
Hogwash. God said you are vital. Now here it is, Father. Love your family. As a result of loving your family, let them see the love of God. Paint an earthly picture of a heavenly love and how much God loved you. Lead them. Bring them with you. Don't just point them. Bring them with you. Friend, I will tell you this, Father, if you want your children to serve God, then you better be serving God. If you want your children to walk with God, then you better be walking with God. You better say, come with me, not go there. Not only lead them, but to take a stand. How desperately our culture needs men who will take a stand. Not push it off onto their mother, but to stand up and say, I will take a stand and my voice will be heard. You know why the world attacks men so vigorously? Because they're afraid what happens when you speak.
Amen.
Afraid of what happens when a man of God, filled with the Spirit of God,
yes,
lifts up a voice.
Right.
Speak. And he said this, give direction. That's not a thumb on the lives of your young people as they grow older, but it's a hand that says, let me point you into some direction. Let me keep you off of this because that'll wreck your life. And let me point you away from this person and let me give you this direction. Let me point you down this path. Let me help you stay on the target that God has for you. And healthy is the life of a young person who grabs a hold of that truth. Who grabs a hold of why God put those people in your life. To the young man who decides, that's who I'm going to be. To the young lady who decides, that's who I want to marry. To the man who says, that's what I'm going to be. The father who determines, God, I need you if I'm going to be that. Because that standard's high. And I need you to do it. Friend, this world's painting a different picture. Because the old devil hates the one that is painted in a godly family.
Oh, yeah.
That picture of a loving Heavenly Father who gave His own Son to die on an old rugged cross that you and I might be saved. He hates that story. And He hates the family that accurately paints that picture.
Yes.
So He attacks the man of that home, attacks the woman of that home, attacks the makeup of the home. And then when some godly Christian decides to stand up and speak up, it tells him to sit down and shut up. Because the old devil hates it.
That's right.
And God calls you and I to say, no way. Not on my watch. I will not sit down. I will not be quiet. I will love my family. I will lead my family. I will stand for my Lord and for my family. And I will direct my family. And if that means I displease some people along the way, so be it. But I will lead. Because that's who God calls you to be. Let's pray together. Lord, I